الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى ولقد آتينا داود وسليمان علما وقال الحمد لله الذي فضلنا على كثير من عباده المؤمنين صدق الله العظيم.
Just as poverty is a blessing, then wealth also is a blessing. Then it is left to the user how he uses it, how he conducts himself in poverty and what he does with his wealth and riches. If he doesn't conduct himself correctly in poverty, then that poverty becomes a musibat, a calamity, and a disaster for him. And if he conducts himself correctly in that wealth, then that wealth becomes a blessing for him. So it is how the person conducts himself in different situations, in the situation of wealth, in the situation of constraints and difficulties. But Ayyub alayhi salam is tried with wealth, children, properties, livestock, and then he's tried again with poverty, sicknesses, suffering, loss of life, children. So he's tried out in both situations. Allah Ta'ala asked him, O Ayyub alayhi salam, were you happier with me in suffering and difficulty, when there was some death in your family, 18 children had died, and all that wealth and the riches we had blessed you all had gone, everything had been wiped out? Or are you happier with me now that I have restored everything? وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ أَهْلَهُ وَمِثْلَهُمْ مَعْهُمْ I have restored everything and we have doubled it. If you had 18, then 36. If you had so many properties, now so much more. Then are you happy with me, the constraints and the suffering, or are you happier with me with the prosperity and the restoration of your health and wealth? So every leg of the journey, we need the Anbiya alayhi salam. They will teach us every step, how do we conduct ourselves, what do we say, and what must be the mindset. So that Ayyub alayhi salam is bathing and there is a shower of gold locusts. Bukhari Sharif hadith, a whole shower of locusts, pure gold, all falling on him. And he is collecting it. So Allah Pak asks him, Alam ughnika, haven't I given you enough wealth that you are collecting all this? So he says, La ghina anka. Nobody can say, no human being can say that I don't need you. Your gifts, whether they're small, your gifts, whether they are huge, but every step, when it's your gift, that I'm totally dependent. I cannot say that I don't need your gifts. Now, this gift is coming directly from you. When it's come from you directly, then I need it. So Allah Ta'ala asks Ayyub alayhi salam, so are you happier with that wealth Oh, are you happier with the constraints and the sufferings? You lost all 18 children. All your properties were wiped out. All your wealth was finished. Nobody stood at your side besides your wife. Full body was with aches and with sores, etc. So, are you happier with the constraints or with the prosperity? So now look at the jawab, look at the answer. He says, O Allah Ta'ala, both are your favors. Whether it's prosperity, whether it is suffering, both are your favors. But what I've been going through in the suffering, the enjoyment, the happiness, then I can't equate it with the enjoyment of prosperity. Because in the suffering, I used to get a message from you every day. Every morning I used to get a message, Ayub, tera mizaj kaisa hai? My dear Ayub, how do you feel this morning? He said, he used to carry me, it used to be so well that my Allah Ta'ala has spoken to me directly today, this morning. I should just wait for the next morning to hear that message from you again, O Allah Ta'ala. And number two, it was that when I didn't have that wealth, that my communication with you was direct. There was no interruption. Absolute, pure, clean communication. Now that I've got the wealth and the prosperity, then too I enjoy communication, but via this and via that and via the other one and the third one and the fourth one, now I don't have the direct line. So Allah Ta'ala had blessed Sulaiman al-Islam with a lot of wealth, a lot of power. قَالَ رَبِّ اخْفِرْ لِي وَهَبْ لِي مُلْكًا لَا يَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدٍ مِّن بَعْدِي. They made this dua, Allah Ta'ala, do forgive me and bless me with a kingdom that is absolutely unique to myself. You haven't given this to anybody in the past, nor will you give something like this to anybody in the future. Something absolutely unique. So, فَسَخَّرْنَا لَهُ الرِّيحِ. Then Allah Ta'ala gave him a kingdom that was unprecedented. Control over the winds. سليمان الريح غدوها شهر ورواحها شهر. In the morning, he would cover a month's distance. And in the evening, he would cover a month's distance. Not in a small aeroplane with 500 passengers, with 10,000 passengers, with jinnat, passengers, all the army equipment that's required in one flight. One flight would cover a whole morning's distance, a whole month's distance. Whole month's distance is about 1,400 kilometers in that zamana, right? In that zamana, it was 1,400 kilometers. But in the morning stride, it would cover an entire month's journey. All modern technology put together, can they do something like this? 10,000 passengers in one stroke. In the evening, again, 10,000 passengers in one stroke. One stride, they have covered such a distance. So Allah Ta'ala granted him the command over the winds. Then he granted him the command over the seas. Then he granted him the command and the control over the jinnat. يَعْمَلُونَ لَهُ مَا يَشَاءُ مِنْ مَحَارِيبُ وَتَمَاثِيلُ. They would build up tall structures for him. And then they would dive the bottom, the dirt of the sea, pull out emeralds, rubies and gold for him. So, the control over the jinnat. There wasn't a jinn that wasn't under his control over Sulaiman alayhi salam. So, control over the air, control over the sea, control over the jinnat. Knowing the language of animals and birds. If an ant is walking here, can you hear, can you listen? With the best equipment, can you listen to the footsteps? Sulaiman al-Islam's ear and listening was so profound that not only the footsteps, even the language of the animals, the birds and the insects, he would be able to listen very clearly. One ant is speaking to the other ant and he listens to the communication absolutely coolly, clearly. نَمْلَةُ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّمْلُ دْخُلُوا مَسَاكِنَكُمْ. Get into your dwellings. Let it not be that Sulaiman al-Islam or his armies trample you. Right. Now in all this, his one bird, he would take an account. like how in a school or in a factory, they see now who's there, who's not there. Take a muster of all those that are present, those aren't present. So he's seeing now the different departments, all are there at the service or not. Then he says, Mali la aral hudhud am kana min al ghaibin. This hudhud bird, right? This bird, yeah, I don't see this thing here. Where is it? So when a person is in charge of a dini obligation, then he cannot just assign the obligation and not look at it personally. You assign the work, alright, one person can't do all the work. But after having assigned the work, you have to see now the different departments, are they accomplishing properly or not. So the hudud is one department. And he says, Mali la aral hudud, I don't see this thing. It was the habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he would also check up on his sahaba ikram, tafaqqud. That if, for example, someone wasn't around, so he would find out, is this person, is he alright? We haven't seen him for Fajr. Is he sick? Is he in need? Is he in any type of difficulty? That we go and pay him a visit and see what we can do for him. Sometimes what happens is, we get into one line of ibadat and everything else is shelved. So here Rasulullah is doing the ibadat. There's nobody like him that does tahajjud the whole night. His feet are getting swollen. Your feet ever got swollen with tahajjud namaz? His feet are swollen, right? But parallel to that, he's looking what is the welfare, what is the condition of the people around Medina Munawara. That becomes his concern. That if I am being good to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah also wants of me that I be good to his subjects and to his people. So the person of wealth, person of influence, the person of might, he can't be boastful over the wealth, the influence and the muscle that he's got. What he needs to see is, right, this additional gift that Allah has given me, what am I doing for the people around? To some extent I must do for them as well, because this is not of my own achievement, no. It is the favor of Allah Ta'ala. By the same token, it was the style of the Sahaba Kiram, إِذَا فَقَدُوا أَعْمَالَهُمْ تَفَقَّدُوا أَعْمَالَهُمْ. If they saw that some things were not working out, like now I'm in a routine of doing tahajjud or reading so much of Quran Sharif, and I'm seeing now sometimes the thing is just falling down, I'm not getting it like I was supposed to, I was doing it, going down, or I was not watching the wrong things, you know, video and social sites, and I wasn't looking at all these wrong things. And now I'm falling into this type of wrong things. I'm seeing what I'm not supposed to be seeing. I'm listening what I'm not supposed to be listening. I'm getting engaged in that type of discussion that I'm not supposed to be getting engaged. So I see, إِذَا فَقَدُوا أَعْمَالَهُمْ تَفَقَدُوا أَعْمَالَهُمْ. When they see things are not working out, then they retrospect. They check within themselves, where have I gone wrong? Somewhere I made ghibat, I gossiped, I looked at the wrong thing, I was present where there was some wrong discussions carrying on, some ghibat was taking place, some gossip was taking place, someone was being slandered, someone was being disgraced, and I was a participant, I was a passive participant to that whole discussion, and I didn't raise a brow, I didn't object to that. So, إِذَا فَقَدُوا أَعْمَالَهُمْ تَفَقَدُوا أَعْمَالَهُمْ. They would check up. Hudud comes around and he says, أَحَدْتُ بِمَا لَمْ تُحِدْ بِهِ وَجِئْتُكَ مِنْ. I have brought some information that you don't have access to. You don't have access to that, and I have seen this. Impressing upon us that the know of the unseen is Allah Ta'ala alone. Not any wali, not any nabi. That is Allah Ta'ala. He has got complete, absolute knowledge. What is now, what is going to happen in a million years, what happened before a million years, that complete, perfect, precisive knowledge is with Allah Ta'ala alone. Allah Ta'ala has got no partner in that. Like he's got no partner in his being, he's got no partner, and he's got no partnership in his attributes as well. Absolutely unique. So he says very boldly, I've got information that you have no access to. I've come here from Sabah, and I see them bowing down, making sajda, from the sun to the sun, min dunillah. Right. So now, Sulaiman says, Al Islam says, sananzur wa sadaqta am kunta min al kadhibin. It's a one-sided information. I cannot take your word for granted. I must see now from the other side as well whether this information of yours is right or not right. See? Because it is a tendency of man that the woman wants to get you to do something. She must just get you at the right time, feed you nicely, crack a joke, give you an ice cream. And then now she must give you a story. You know this one here? Watch out for your mother. Just watch out. She is the spanner. But she got you taped nicely. Got the dessert, got the milkshake, got the cappuccino, everything right. Now she's giving the story. The mother-in-law is giving it to the daughter-in-law. Yeah, you doing this. Sab kaam kharab kar deti hai. Everything you spoiling. The daughter-in-law is very relaxed. And she says, she turns around and says, mujhe kya fikar? The daughter-in-law, the mother-in-law is shouting, says, see, I'll report you to the husband, to my son. So the daughter-in-law is very relaxed and says, mujhe to koi fikar nahi. Tum to khari khari kahogi, main to pari pari kahungi. See, you will say to the husband what you need to say, right? Exactly. Me, I will get him in the right frame of mind, fix him up right, then I will chow him, then I'll give it to him. See these fights, where it starts off. We hear one side, and because we are siding and we like that person, so we just go with the flow. We're not ascertaining, not confirming whether that is right or not right. Now that makes us understand the felicity, the wrong of the social sides. Social sites, media, radios, most of the time the information is not verified. I know I won't say where it was, but I was once in a place, right? It just happened, there was some heavy fighting going on. Army is on side, and the people are fighting against the army. I was there now. Army is coming in with a tanker. I'm there in a hotel. And the army just pulled in, it's a tanker, and you can hear heavy gunfire. And the whole ground is shaking. In the meanwhile, there was one uncle from Rawat, from Reunion, you know. He's there. So he's telling me, that announcement is going in a different language. I know the language. So just listen now, what are they speaking about? So the announcer is saying, Al-An, الأمور كلها تحت مسيطرة تامة. Now, presently, everything is under control, absolute. I can hear the gunshots, the whole ground shaking like this, and this is the radio that is announcing. So that's the work of a media. The media's work is to sell news. And they can sell the news if they know which button to press, how to tune the thing, how to design it and give it to you. If they don't excite you, the news can't sell. And now we are so gullible that anything comes from news, media, social sites, whatever, whether it's one-sided, whether you heard the other side, but he said it now, and he said it so nicely, so we just take it hook, line, and sinker. Right? But is that the way? Sulaiman is saying, no, no. Sananzuru asadakta am kunta minal kazibin. We're going to verify this information, whether you're saying the truth, or you made up a story here. You're going to verify. See a Nabi now, how thorough the Nabi is. He won't just do things like that. See, we may think to ourselves, it's just information, so I swallowed the information, so what's the big deal about it? But you don't realize that sometimes you're building up an enmity for someone based on some wrong information. Right? Sometimes it is your beliefs are going off based on some misinformation. Sometimes your character and your ways are getting all affected just on the basis of some misinformation. So the need to verify information. Otherwise, don't listen to it at all. Either you don't listen to it, absolutely no social media, no radio, no news, don't listen to it. And then you listen to just one person who you feel is very thorough in his knowledge, in his understanding, in his direction that he's giving, he's got a whole load of experience, you listen to him. Otherwise, if you are into this news business, then go and verify the information. Don't do anything. Don't open fire without verifying. Walid radiallahu anhu, he sent to one tribe to go and collect the annual zakat. Banu al-Mustaq, he has to go there to go and collect the annual zakat. So as he goes, as he's approaching the town, he sees all those people are waiting. So he became apprehensive that I had some old scores with these people in the days of ignorance. They have come out waiting for me. The moment I reach there, they're going to finish me up. So he saw them from a distance, 2-3 kilometers away, took a U-turn, came back to Medina. Ya Rasulallah, these people are all armed to the teeth. They want to kill me. Rasulullah sends Khalid radiallahu anhu with a battalion. And he says, Khalid, you go, and before you do anything, go and investigate. Don't you open fire, don't do anything. Go and investigate. And Khalid radiallahu anhu, it's his luck, he meets the leader midway. He asks the leader, but what's going on? He said, no, we got no intention. We collected there, we all assembled there, that we may, there was the first time in our history that we had the opportunity to give out something in the name of Allah Ta'ala. So we're too excited for that occasion. Therefore we came out. Now see, if he went and shot those people, Khalid just went without doing any investigation, how many of innocent lives would have been taken? Now that's a Nabi. And Nabi's knowledge is perfect. So he says, don't you do anything without investigation. So if you know you're going to do things without investigation, sometimes your character is going to get affected. Sometimes you will become biased. Sometimes your heart is going to be filled with malice. Sometimes your beliefs are going to be shaken. So either you don't listen to it, just listen to one person. Or if you are listening to it, you're in the business of listening to every and any information, then go and verify everything. Every information you've got, verify it. Is it thorough? Is it right? Must I go through this? Can I digest this type of information? Sometimes the information may be right, but you don't have the ability to digest it. About a week ago, a small child, 7-year-old child, right? Coming from somewhere in Germany, I won't say the place. So he comes, now and then he comes to Spingo. So he'll talk to me here, the child now, you have to just amuse them a little bit, make them feel nice. So make them feel nice. So he's telling me, but Mulana, you know, what's wrong in wearing just one cloth in namaz? Just one cloth in namaz, what's wrong? You know, because, he's telling me now, see this is a child, 7 year or whatever, 7 year of age, and he's telling me, you know what, but the Sahaba Kiram, radiallahu anhum, used to perform namaz in just one cloth. Now, I knew exactly what this child is doing. I knew exactly what he's doing. So this hadith comes in Abu Dawud Sharif. The hadith reads, "Awa likullikum thawban." Does every one of you have two pieces of cloth? Now, look at the whole context. You see that this is pulled out of context, just one line, and is given to the little child. And this child now says, what's wrong? Well, if I just perform namaz in a three quarters, what's wrong? I covered my sadr. So what's wrong? What's the big deal about it? So I have to explain this child now, to start the whole background of this hadith, the whole context. So I said, it's a time where many Sahaba Kiram had just one cloth. Nothing besides one cloth. Constraints had reached such a level that sometimes the wife hasn't got sufficient cloth to cover herself properly for her to perform namaz. So the husband is going to the masjid with that one cloth, doing the namaz, returning home, passing on the cloth to the wife that she may do her namaz. See? So that's the situation, that's the financial constraints. They cannot afford a second cloth. Right? So when they couldn't afford a second cloth, so Rasulullah is telling them, everybody doesn't possess two cloths, so that one cloth, so long as it covers your satr, your namaz is valid. Now do you see the context? And then I have to explain the child according to his level. Say, see, look at it. let alone the Sahaba-i-Kiram, even the Rasool-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, months would pass with just dates and water. Now, if your mother tells you tomorrow that, see, child, Yusuf, you know what? Sahaba-i-Kiram and Rasool-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would just live on dates and water, so you must live with dates and water for 20 days. Is that acceptable? Is that acceptable? It's telling decent amount, I can't manage for one day. So when they made that financial constraints, they had to live. So they had to live just with dates and water. But now that wasn't the standard. That wasn't the desired thing. But now I'm living in constraints. He can't say, the child won't say, Ma, until you can't prepare biryani for me with saffron and with fish, you know, 74 fish. If you don't prepare that for me, I'm not going to eat. Mother, what would the mother do? She'll take out the veil and you better eat. Because she knows that's a lifeline. If he doesn't eat, he's going to die. He must eat. The day you can afford it, you'll eat that as well. But now to sustain life, just carry on like this. So exactly the same, to do the namaz, that was the only cloth that was available, do the namaz. The day you got proper clothing, then you come well attired to the masjid. خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ وَكُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. Wear your full apparel, good apparel, the apparel that is good, that you would wear amongst respectable persons. The cloth of respect, generally in the past and present, is it must be loose and it must be flowing. It must be loose and it must be flowing. You look at the past, your dada or great dada, what was the style of cloth? What is all short was flowing and was loose. So that was a standard clothing of all the good of the past and the good people presently. This tight clothing, etc., short clothing, etc., that's not the clothing and the apparel of the righteous. So anyway, we're talking about verifying information, and the failure of verifying information, what it does to you. Then there is another group that want to listen and want to pay attention to any and every information. Every information comes in, I want to take it on. Now many a time, that information is not suitable for you. You can't handle that information. So you can't take information that you cannot handle. You take on that information that you can handle. But you can't handle that information, you don't take it on. See, one friend of mine, he tells me, in the summer months now, and he just opened the trap door and he saw a big, thick mamba, about 3 meters, so thick. So I said, what you did? Interesting, now just to find out what he did. He said, I spoke to the snake catcher. So he was there in half an hour's time, he charged me over 2,000. So I was watching how he goes about doing it. This is what a style, how it will take him about an hour just to reach for its head. You know, how tactfully he has to go, reach for the head, hold that thing without hurting himself. Then he goes and sells it to the parks board, he makes another 5,000. Me, he made 2,000, then he got 5,000. For him, ek din ke liye to bahut zyada ho gaya. It's enough for him. But now, you cannot say that the snake catcher caught the snake, so I can do the same. Can you do it? You don't have the muscle for it. He's got the muscle, he's got the training. He does it, it's not harmful, not dangerous. And you do it, you'll kill yourself. So that information for some persons is alright. It doesn't affect his belief, it doesn't affect his behavior, conduct, his thinking, it's no malice in his heart. He knows how to verify that information, he does it right. But if that person has got it, because there's a need, he needs to see that information for whatever reason, an alim or something, so he needs to see that information. So if he handles it, it doesn't affect him. You handle the information, it can be dangerous for you. So Sulaiman alayhi salam says, سَنَنْزُرُ وَصَدَقْتَمْ كُنْتَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ اِذْهَبْ بِكِتَابِهَا. Take this letter of mine, go and deliver it to the queen that is bowing down to the sun. Go and deliver it. And see, فَنْزُرْ مَاذَا يَرْجِعُونَ. See what reply you will receive. Now, كَلَامُ الْمُلُوكِ مُلُوكُ الْكَلَامُ. When kings and lords speak, They speak precisely, short, to the point, comprehensive, complete. So it writes, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. That's how we're supposed to be starting a letter, right? Allah ta'alu alayya wa atuni muslimi. Just one line. You don't show me an attitude and come to me in full surrender. See that, king. You don't show me an attitude and you come to me in total submission. Everything what a king is supposed to be said is all encapsulated in this one line. In one line it's encapsulated. Now Sulaiman alayhi salam knows, alright, this is true. In the meanwhile, Sulaiman alayhi salam has got his whole assembly, his whole parliament. In his parliament he's making an announcement. You see, there's a queen that is coming in. And this queen must understand that she needs to subject herself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But she can only get to this understanding if this material thing is made to her to be very insignificant. She is proud about the wealth she's got. She is too arrogant about what she's got. Bal antum bihadiyatikum tafrahun. You are proud about your wealth. So now she needs to understand that this is kachra, is nothing. Right? Now how to do it? So he has to impress her to make her understand that there's another life beyond this life here. We take this life to be all and end all. So he has to impress upon her that this is just a temporary thing, is a kachra in comparison to the hereafter. So now Sulaiman alayhi salam does two things. The one thing he does is, you know, she's got her envoy, the whole ambassador is coming in with some bricks of gold. 20, 30 bricks of gold, and they bring it, right? So one block, if it's a big block, maybe 15 kilos or something, and 20, 30, you can imagine how much, right? Sulaiman alayhi salam says to his people, right, I know what she's doing, but I say, in an hour's time, you pave the whole road for 50 kilometers with pure gold. Now, when she brought this thing here, what it looks like? Hey, I'm a hopeless thing here, man. I'm offering 20 bricks of gold. You have the whole road for 50 kilometers, 20 meters wide, 20, 30 meters wide, and 50 kilometers in length, made of pure gold. What am I showing him? So she must feel that this is nothing. The akhirat is more significant. Comparison to the akhirat, this is absolute kachra, nothing waste. And then again, he has to show, even in technology, I'm so advanced. And he says, أَيُّكُمْ يَأْتِينِي بِعَرْشِهَا قَبْلَ أَن يَأْتُونِي مُسْلِمِينَ. See, her throne was one of its kind, right? Like you hear of the throne of India in the time of the Mughals, right? One of its kind. They should call it Taus. One of its kind. So that throne itself was about 50, 60 meters in length and equal in breadth as well. Started with rubies and stones and everything else. So she was so proud of a magnificent throne. The Quran Sharif also says, Walaha arshun azim. So he addresses his assembly and tells them, Ayyukum bi'atini bi'arshiha qabla ayyatuni muslimin. Who of you is now will bring the throne to me before she comes to me in submission? Because now she already surrendered. She knows this is something else. Sulaiman alayhi salam is something totally else. She's done her homework and she knows how magnificent, how powerful, how mighty he is. He said, before she can reach here in an hour's time, less than an hour, and this throne must be here before me. So one jinnat says, قَبْلَ أَن تَقُومَ مِن مَقَامِكَ. I'll bring it before the end of the sitting. The sitting will take another 1 hour to end up, but before that I'll bring it. One jinn, ifritum min al-jinn, powerful, mighty jinn, he said, I'll get it like this. قَالَ الَّذِي عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ أَنَا آتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَن يَرْتَدَّ إِلَيْكَ طَرْفُكَ. But the one that had knowledge, right, he had learned some names of Allah Ta'ala through which the du'as get answered. So whatever dua you make, and the dua is answered. You know, you ask for wealth and it's there. You ask for gold and it's there. So we're just relating the story to one accountant, you know. So she's like, wow, what was the dua? But try to understand, there's another,
There's a more important thing to this. You ask Eli, you want to make some more wealth. You got so much, and you want me to give you that name so that your du'as are answered and your wealth can just double. Anyway. So he says, قَبْلَ أَن يَرْتَدَّ إِلَيْكَ تَرْفُكُ. Before you can bat an eye, before the twinkling of an eye, it will be astray. Now this is now the highlight of this whole story. Not all this, the rest of it is not the highlight. This is the highlight. In the face of wealth, what's going to be your response? In the face of power, might, glory, right? Are you going to be proud, showing an attitude, arrogance? Are you going to be doing that? What's going to be your attitude, your response, your behavior in the face of glory, magnificence, might, strength, clout, and all that? How are you going to take this thing here? So, Allah has recorded his whole story here to let us appreciate this last verse here. He says, when he saw, فَلَمَّا رَآهُ مُسْتَقِرًا عِنْدَهُ, when he saw the throne settled by him, saw it now there, right? The same throne. So he says, Sulaiman alayhi salam's response, you see. Sulaiman alayhi salam's response. Because when you talk about wealth, you say, no, don't run after wealth and all that. So people say, no, but Sulaiman alayhi salam also had wealth. That's the response that you get. But he had also wealth. But when he had wealth, you see his behavior, how he conducted himself. You're looking at the story one side. You are saying information, but one-sided. The side that will be agreeable to you. Sulaiman alayhi salam had thousands of horses, because he's got such a huge army, thousands of horses he's got. It's urida alayhi bil ashi safinatul jihad. Like I say, when it's a head of a state, an Islamic state, he must personally go and see every department that it's running well or not. He mustn't just assign it. Periodically, in intervals, he must go and check each department, what's happening everywhere. So, he is now inspecting his horses. Urida alayhi bil ashi safinatul jihad. It was a late afternoon, and he's seeing his horses. Safinat, jihad. Jihad is very swift, right? And safinat, they're very well trained. So they, when it's very well trained, they call them safinat. And safinat, they've got a certain, like a posture. The posture is that it will be standing, the horse will be standing on three legs, and the fourth one will be slightly off the ground. Right? The hoof will be slightly off the ground. So that's called safinat. It's very well trained, a very high pedigree horse. So now his wife is inspecting all this. Qala, is urida alayhi bil ashi safinatul jihad. Qala, inni ahbabtu hubbal khayri an dhikri rabbi hatta tawarat bil hijab. Now that inspection was coinciding with some devotional practice of his. Like, you know, you say wazifa, some zikr, Quran Sharif tilawat, some optional thing. Now, in the midst of the inspection, this ibadat was left out. So he has to do this. This is also for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. But he can't leave out this as well. This is an indirect ibadat. This is a direct ibadat. For this indirect thing, because he's going to be using it for jihad, for this indirect thing, he can't leave out his personal devotions. Although it may be nafal, but it's a personal devotion. He can't leave it out. So when he realized now that he was so absorbed into this, that some of his devotional practices, like his tilawat of the zabur, etc., that was left out. He says, no, rudduhali. All that horses, just bring it back. The 1,000, 10,000, bring it. فَتَفِكَ مَسْحَمْ بِالسُّوقِ وَالْعَنَاقِ. He began slaughtering. Now I can't keep it in my name at all. It's offered for the sake of Allah that I slaughtered all. Now I stop here abruptly and ask, right? You bought that murk, right? And that murk distracted you from one namaz. Your asr namaz got qaza. You were doing a deal with someone, right? And one namaz got qaza. Have you got the heart to say, right, I'm giving it as a part of Allah. This thing here distracted me from my namaz. You have got, even if you have 100 murks, have you got the heart to do it? Now that's Sulaiman Islam. When you say Sulaiman Islam had wealth and he had the balance. If this thing distracted him from his devotional practice, but let it go. That thing can't turn me. Hubbal khayri an dhikri rabbi hatta tawarat bil hijab. Udduha alay, fatafika masham bisuqi wal aq. Do you see that? Comprehensive, complete, perfection of a Nabi. So don't you compare yourself with these people. They are a different class altogether. See, I'll say I'm weak. Allah must correct me, bring me online. I don't have that type of balance like the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Where am I to compare myself with the Nabi for Allah Ta'ala? So now we're seeing the highlight of this whole story comes here. When he's seeing all these things happening before him, control, air, wind, sea, everything controlled. So he says, Ahada min fadli Rabbi. This is only the blessing of Allah Ta'ala. See, I got children, blessing of Allah Ta'ala. My child can read so well, blessing of Allah Ta'ala. He's making so much of wealth. Alhamdulillah, it's only the grace of Allah Ta'ala. It's not my doing, it's not his doing, it's the grace of Allah Ta'ala. Where I was and what I am now, only the grace of Allah Ta'ala. My children are progressive, they're doing so much. But it's not my doing. Don't you attribute it to me. Because it came, Allah can take it. In a flash of an eye, you can take the whole thing. So you don't attribute anything to yourself. Hadha min fadli Rabbi. See the cognizance, the presence of mind, the consciousness. That's the thing that is required. See, that's the highlight. Hadha min fadli. Allah got it in record. That the man, in the face of all that glory, all that pride, that magnificence, the beauty, everything, you know, what you can think of, with all that, what he says, min fadli Rabbi, not mine, not my doing. It is purely the doing of Allah Ta'ala. So I can't be proud of myself. I can't impress others of my wealth, of my possession, of my influence, my power. Sulaiman al-Islam was very fluent in speech. So I can't impress upon all these things. I can't impress upon anybody for the favors of Allah Ta'ala. Min fadli Rabbi. It is only and only the grace of Allah Ta'ala, the blessings of Allah Ta'ala. Then he says, why? Why Allah has given me this? Why? لِيَبْلُوَنِ First he says that this is the grace of Allah Ta'ala. Then these bounties that are conferred upon me, why? لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَشْكُرُ أَمْ أَكْفُرُ That's the whole reason. To test me whether I am showing gratitude or I am ungrateful to Allah Ta'ala. See, it's easy to take that thing. To see that wealth is easy. To drive around like that, to go for a holiday, to have that type of investment is easy. But to have this recognition and understanding that this is a trial, and Allah wants to see that am I showing the required amount of gratitude or am I disregarding the favor of Allah? What am I doing? لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَشْكُرُ أَمْ أَكْفُرُ When he comes now, say, no, but it's Allah's shukr, but I work for it also, you know. Pasina pasina nikal gaya. See how we say, but I? Not you at all, but it was Allah Ta'ala that did it. Not your mehnat, not your effort, not your brains, not your acumen, absolutely nothing. I ask you for a moment, had Allah not given you the brain, right? Then could you have been boasting like this? So that which is given directly or indirectly, both are from Allah Ta'ala. Not for a moment must you think that it's yours, or it's your achievement, your acumen, your style, your smartness, no, nothing at all. لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَشْكُرُ أَمَكْفُرُ Then he rounds it up and he says, مَنْ شَكَرَ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ النَّفْسِ Right? Even if I am grateful, then this is not a feather on the cap of Allah Ta'ala. It is to my own gain. Not that Allah got a cap, just figuratively I'm saying, it's not going to be of any good to Allah Ta'ala. If I am doing this, it's not going to bring any good. It's for my own good. I need to show gratitude. I need to understand that it is from Allah Ta'ala. I need to acknowledge. Now Allah Pak likes it when you acknowledge. See, I'll just end up this talk here. See, what may be going wrong today is we went into wealth, a lifestyle, right? We went to a lifestyle. Number two, entertainment and excitement, holiday, car, all the, whatever, right? Number three, investments. Here, Hong Kong and wherever else, Timbuktu, we got all investments everywhere, right? So that's the three goals of every person today. Lifestyle, excitement and entertainment. I finish this now, try that, finish that one there, try something else. Entertainment and excitement, right? And the third, investment and security. That's the essence or the goal of everybody's life. So all what is happening, Allah is shaking you up by. This is the kafir's take on life. That's how he looks at life. It's not a Muslim's take. your life starts with death. إِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. The life starts with death. You know, all these cases are happening, that the hearse person was there. He's telling me, Mulana, you know what? I went through the most amount in these 2 months, about 250 cases I went through, but I can say very safely that every Muslim's face was smiling. So good it was. Today I think about 5 calls or 7 calls, I see, man went, my brother, father, uncle, wife, whoever. But there was such a smile. One man comes and tells me, you know, all this just now, the whole day I'm just listening to this call. They have to say, all right, you have to listen to them. Sometimes you become, it's miserable because other works is getting affected. But now just for that person's condolence, you have to listen to his story. He said, sister of his is looking so, so beautiful, you know. I never see her as beautiful like this. Although she's about over 60 years of age, but the beauty that I saw on the face was never like before. Someone is saying, his uncle died today, you know, today. The smile was so broad, like, you know, hey, like, he just had to burst out laughing. One person is saying to me, you know what, I saw the person in the dream. I saw him and he says, hey, tell the guys that I'm not dead, I'm alive, man. I'm alive. Now this is exactly the Quran Sharif. What he said is exactly the Quran Sharif. لَا تَقُولُ لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتِ بَلَحْيَا. This is all shaheeds. فَأَوْنُ شَهَادَةٌ لِكُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ رَوَاهُ الْبُخَارِي. It's a shahadat, it's a martyrdom for every Muslim. It's a word of Rasulullah, it can't go wrong. It's a martyrdom for every Muslim. So the man is saying, tell the people also that I'm not dead, I'm alive. What's wrong with you? Why are you counting me as dead? Allah Baqa says, لَا تَقُولُوا لِي وَيُقْتَلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتِ بَلَحْيَا. So for those people that went, we feel a hurt for separation. But we also feel happy they're in a far better place. Because they are saying now, they're actually saying, but we don't want to go back, man. Don't call us back now. We don't want to see you now. You must come join us. They're so excited. They're in such excitement, they don't want to reverse this thing yet. Can you imagine the level of excitement? And what is better than this shahadat when Rasulullah himself says, you know, in the galaxy of the Anbiya, that level is the highest, Anbiya highest. And in that galaxy, the highest is Rasulullah. And then shahadat is such a great thing, martyrdom is such a great thing, that Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself says, لَوَدِدْتُ أَنْ أُقْتَلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ أُحْيَا ثُمَّ أُقْتَلْ ثُمَّ أُحْيَا ثُمَّ أُقْتَلْ. My longing is, I must give my life for the sake of Allah, I must become shaheed. I must come alive again, and I must become shaheed again. It's such an experience, it's so beautiful. You know, it's an experience, you just want to go through it again, and again, and again. So Rasulullah, the greatest of Anbiya, he is desirous of that. So if someone goes through it, they'd be happy. Don't say, hey, now the doctor did this, the hospital did that, and then, hey, they diagnosed, they didn't diagnose. I don't make a story. For everything, but